Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 27th of July. Joining us this morning is Fortuna City Manager Merritt Perry. Good morning.
Morning, Brian.
And happy drizzle to you.
Love it.
I know.
We need more of it.
You know, was it this morning sometime? It came down pretty good for a couple minutes. Yeah, okay. Yay! Yeah. Uh-oh. The grass is going to grow and then dry out again. It's more fuel. Is this good or bad? And that's as far as I went.
Yeah, stop right
fell
there.
Back to sleep. Yeah, but that was the concern that I had. But it's got to help the guys out over in the valley and up in Oregon if they got some of the wet.
Yeah, I don't think it can hurt at this point.
No, yeah,
things are so dry. I think it'll barely register. But sure, it's nice to keep the dust down and maybe get a little green on the grass.
Yeah, just a little bit of something, and maybe we don't have to water quite so much this afternoon. Maybe. All right. Are you ready for your question, Saw?
Yeah, I'm ready to start it off with being stumped.
Start low and then work our way down, huh? Yeah, okay. Why is someone thoroughly drunk described as being three sheets to the wind?
I don't know. Let's see. Three sheets to the wind. It's got to be a sailing reference.
Yep.
And maybe they weren't able to put the sails back up and they've got three sheets going. I don't know. All I could say is sailing reference and not sure.
You are tacking in the right direction. Okay, that's about as close as I'm going to get to. The sheets referred to are control ropes attached to the sails on a ship. Mm. When three of these sheets are untied and allowed to run free, the uncontrolled sail flaps in the wind, and the ship lurches and staggers like a drunk person. Therefore, a person acting this way is said to have three sheets to the wind.
That's a good one. I'm glad to know that.
You got
one.
Pretty close.
Yeah, I can picture it, just the sails flapping around out there.
And yeah, now you can go down the hall and find out if Casey was listening.
A lot of movement, not really going anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, gee. Well, you survived July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it August yet? Are you jumping the gun a little bit?
Well, we're pacing towards August, okay?
Okay. Yep. Don't confuse me. It still feels like Monday.
Yeah, doesn't it, though? Good events this year? It's tough because we have nostalgia layered on top of the actual numbers from 2 years ago when things were permitted to occur. Good year?
Yeah, just talking to Shannon McWhorter with the rodeo board, he estimated they had between 25,000 and 30,000 people at the range of events that they had over the week. And so attendance was up. I think he estimated about 38%. So I think what that shows...
That's a chunky number.
That's a pretty good number.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was from 2019. If you remember, 2020 was canceled. And
the whole year was just kind of canceled.
Yeah, I'd say they were thrilled. I mean, what it really shows is that people want to get back out, do those normal things that they could do pre-COVID, and so we had great attendance. I haven't heard the numbers from Auto Expo. I just heard that it was very well attended and packed. And so, yeah, I think they went off really well. It's nice to have those big events done. And, you know, I think it'll be good for those groups that put those on working together. I mean, looking back at it, and
bodes well for the county fair.
I don't know. We'll see. I hope. I think
we'll
so.
Make it there.
Yeah. I mean, people are going to say, "What, a fair?" I haven't gone to the fair for a couple years.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Or decades. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I really haven't been following the virus report numbers. Yeah, I mean, I look at them each day, but I don't connect them or play the what ifs. But certainly, the numbers have gone up in the last week.
Right.
Is anybody speculating? Is this the tourist season? Are people traveling out of the area? Is there any discussion? I mean, you get in those closed door meetings that most of us don't get invited to.
Yeah, I don't think it's as back smoke filled room as you would think. Oh. You know, we're really looking.
All right, so you're drinking fine wine instead of cigars. Fine.
I wouldn't mind that. You know, finally making it to that point, but it's not that sophisticated or cloaked in mystery. But we look at a couple things. Of course, we listen to what our public health County Public Health has to say, and they've come up with some new recommendations. And then we also look at what the state rules are. And so, yeah, in a changing environment, we have to follow the state rules. And so I think at this point they're talking about having some new rules come up in September. With the uptick, they may do something sooner, but I think at this point the city's going to wait and see what the state says we will do. It's just too hard jumping around and trying to react to those numbers on a short-term basis. But certainly we're going to watch it. We're going to continue to follow the OSHA rules to protect our employees as we have to. And then, you know, our plan will be to see what the state imposes for public health orders. So we're going to continue with that.
I'm unsure, and perhaps you know, these mutations that they're talking about, are those reported numbers being folded into the regular numbers that we hear in the news media all the time, or are they tracked separate?
So disclaimer, you know, that's out of my area of expertise, but my understanding is, so I think they sequence the genetics on some of the variants and then they report those numbers of reinfection. I think they're all lumped in one number. And I think they can tell you what percentage of the new infections are as a result of a particular variant, with obviously the Delta variant being the primary one. But again, I'm a city manager, not a public health official, not a doctor. And
you didn't sleep at Hilton Ramada? Who was it?
No.
Gosh, it's been so long since I've seen one of those commercials. I slept at I did sleep at a, was it Holiday Inn Express?
I'm lost. Is it? I thought you already stumped me on the Three Sheets to the Wind.
Yeah, no, you got way too close. You're not getting off the hook this early.
I already dug myself out of one hole.
Well, I was going to ask you how the public works side of thing were going, but you know, you're talking about digging and all that kind of stuff. But
and the short answer would be great.
Good, and we'll talk about the long answer when we come back. KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry from the city of Fortuna. Good construction summer so far?
Yeah, for us it was a relatively mild one. We had one really noticeable project, I'd say, which was the reconstruction and paving of Redwood Way. And I'm sure you've heard with some of your guests that it's tough to find money to do paving, and so we were thrilled to have some state transportation improvement program funds, a little bit of money from Bike and Ped. So we were able to, Redwood Way, which runs between Fortuna Boulevard and Ronaville Road, it also access, it's a road to use to access Redwood Memorial Hospital. And it was coming apart. So this was really to
maintenance, or just it was an old cow trail that just kind of built up.
Yeah, I mean, we were starting to see complete pavement failure, so we were able to repair the subgrade. Not necessarily subgrade. We were able to pull out the failing asphalt on the road and then put a new resurfacing on it. And then with some of the Bike and Ped money, we were able to widen it to accommodate enough width for a bike lane.
But it's still not wide enough to land airplanes on.
Not yet.
I know sometimes, you know, you get those new projects,
yeah,
and it just opens things up, and all of a sudden everybody's going 65 or 70 on it.
Yeah,
it's like, wait a minute, it's still in a neighborhood. You can't slow down.
Yeah, and you know when your roads really start going, and this one was at that point, we had to do a couple of spot repairs. But when you start to lose a subgrade, and you look at full depth reconstruction of, you know, recompacting the base underneath and starting from scratch, a lot more expensive than doing dig outs and an overlay. And
moves up the ladder really quick on the priority list.
Yeah, because the longer you wait, the more it costs you. So, and there's a new development. There's a private developer that did a 60-unit subdivision that's going to be doing senior housing. There's 24.
Go, you can drop a name. It's all right. Housing is a positive around here.
Yeah, the Fitzies are doing that development. And it's, it, you know, it's pretty neat to see. It's an area that's obviously been designated for housing for some time. And it's nice. They did a small development. Well, I wouldn't say small, 60 units. And they really like the model of running.
Humboldt County big.
Fortuna.
Small
moderate.
In a lot of areas yeah. throughout the state. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But they're doing, it's looking really nice. They're doing a great job. And so they just paved their roads on Friday. And I think we finished paving Redwood Way a couple weeks before. So nice to see the whole road and a new subdivision tied in and
looking
and,
good
and put a bow on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So at lunch, you just kind of drive the neighborhood.
I have to admit, when we finish some of those projects, I like driving through and look at it. Usually I've got my critical eye on, and I'm like, what about that? That striping's not good, or this or that. And so it's nice to drive through a project. You know, just looking at the project, most folks would think, oh, they just built that this summer. But I think we got the funding for that 4 years ago or something. So it takes a lot of time to move something through and even – planning for that and doing the project study report and those type of tasks. You're working on those years before you ever get to build them.
Now, we heard over the last little bit about the cost of materials
going up.
I know wood is now kind of settled back down a little bit. But did that complicate anything, or are these when you get the bids 2 years ago and the contractors are kind of the guys and gals that are kind of left holding the bag a little bit if it goes screwy like it did
well,
in the spring?
Well, they bid it right before construction. So we'll bid it, and it takes a couple, 3 months maybe to get through the award process. So really the city's at risk. If, for example, asphalt went way up on a paving project, then the city would have to look at options of where do we come up with that extra money, or how do we modify the project to reduce the limits to save money and bring it in within budget.
And that's pre-getting the bids.
That's well, you never really know what it's going to cost till you get the bid. So you rely on your engineers to do an accurate estimate.
So you get the bids, and then things go screwy.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've done for a while is we put in.
I know that's a technical term, by the way.
Screwy. Yeah. It happened. Yeah. Yeah. We use that a lot.
Yeah. It's better than collaboration.
For a lot of our projects, we put in additive alternates. So if there's enough money, then you add these project components in. So what you want to make sure you can do is you can award your base bid, which is a minimum you want to get done. And then if you have enough money on your optimistic side, then you can get more done. What you don't want to do is have to rebid the project and waste the time and blow your construction window.
So if there's extra, we'd like you to do these things? Is that kind of how it?
Yeah, we add those onto the base. You could do deductive alternates, which they bid the whole thing and then you take them off. But I think the better strategy is, okay, if there's enough money, you move them forward.
So what are some of the things that typically get included on that list? The sidewalks?
Sidewalk segments.
Okay.
You know, when you do a paving project, you're required to upgrade the – when you do surfacing, technically, you're required to upgrade the pedestrian facilities to be ADA accessible. So we were looking at this one thinking, hey, could we add sidewalk segments? But one good thing about paving and sidewalk projects, we have a lot of bid results, and it's pretty easy to know where you're going to end up. They don't swing that much, and fortunately we didn't see the price of asphalt or concrete swing that much with COVID. So when you're looking at unit prices from, you know, a handful of recent bid projects, and it, you know, we don't have that many contractors around here bidding paving and sidewalk projects, right? So you hope the contractor that does a good job and gives good prices bids your job. That's the biggest concern. Are we going to attract bidders? And then if so, do they like working where we're at, and are they going to, you know, for the city, and are they going to give you good prices? And
well, I would suspect, you know, if you're working with a local guy, you know what you're dealing with.
I'll just say that it hasn't hurt to have Mercer Fraser relocate into the city of Fortuna. It's nice to have them want to do the projects right in their backyard. So they've done pretty well competitively on a lot of our projects, and I think we're so close to their facility. So that's worked out really good, and they've done a great job on the projects for the city.
And you know them.
Yeah. And
it goes both ways, I would suspect.
Yeah, and I'd say it's unusual. We get, you know, occasionally we'll get out-of-town contractors, and we like to see that participation to keep everybody honest and keep our prices low. But, you know, we're certainly happy working with our local contractors. They've done a great job on our projects.
It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna City Manager Merritt Perry. Merritt, as you look for the rest of the construction season, for however long it may last, I mean, it could be 2024 at the way things are going, because of the lack of rain that we've had the last little bit, does that open windows for you, or is it still somewhere around October you anticipate shutting it down and then you just do a whole bunch of short-term things as weather conditions permit?
You know, I think we've kind of adjusted our timelines. I think the whole construction community really gets used to those changes. I remember when I first started doing construction management and oversight and construction engineering, you know, you weren't safe to start until June, but you know, you're seeing concrete projects go through the winter. I mean, just look at downtown Eureka right now. Caltrans has their all these projects happening, PG&E right. has projects happening, and you know, I don't know that it shuts down like it used to, and people and I think contractors are getting started earlier, and I think I remember when you just couldn't do anything through the winter.
Yeah, and it was over.
I don't know, anecdotal evidence or whatever, but certainly it doesn't seem like we're being as impacted by the heavy rain where everybody just shuts down and waits for it to stop. It seems like more commonly now there will be a couple of months where no one's really doing anything, but it's getting started. It's running later and getting started earlier because folks can do the type of work that, you know, with a little bit of rain and not a lot.
So do you have, I guess, the equivalent of contract flexibility because of that? You know, if you can do it, great. If the rains come like they historically did, we're not going to ding you. We'll extend the timelines so that people aren't in default.
There's contract provisions, and they're typically, you know, a normal construction contract will have working days, the number of working days, and then there's provisions in the contract for rain delays. And then if it's a longer project, you can put it on suspension if you need to stop the project for weather conditions.
So that's kind of boilerplate stuff?
It's normal, yeah.
Okay.
And so you're usually, the less time you're working on a project, the less expensive it is. Imagine, fancy that, right?
Yeah. Ooh.
So, you know, that Redwood Way project, I think we had over a month of working days, and it got knocked out in a couple of weeks. So, you know, you're paying engineers less.
Everybody's smiling on that one.
Yeah, and especially when it's built well, that's what you want. That's ideal, is you make the conditions so the work can get done with the least trouble.
The inspectors from the municipality that are there, whether it's road or sidewalk or whatever.
Yeah.
The clipboard people.
Yeah.
Do they on site make recommendations, or are they there black and white and a cat of nine tails at their hip if you do something that they don't agree with?
Well, a lot of projects are structured and managed like this. You have a resident engineer who's responsible for the implementation of the design. And that may or may not be the design engineer who was a professional engineer responsible for the design. And then you have inspectors, and they may or may not be engineers. But typically what you would do when you have a project that's been stamped by somebody, the construction oversight or inspection in the field, they'll look at it to make sure that the project's being built in conformance with the plans and specs and the way it's supposed to work. If there's a minor change or something can be done, there's a little bit of interpretation. But if you're making a significant design change, then you would have to, you know, complete a change order and have that signed by the engineer of record who designed the project. Because what you don't want is, you know, kind of serial engineering and people losing track of why something was done. And again, on a road project, a lot of those construction techniques and the engineering is pretty straightforward. So you don't really have to kick much back up to the design engineer. But so a lot of it can be handled at the inspection level.
So the field person is kind of like the interpreter, but also serves as the messenger, if need be, and goes
right
between the two?
Yeah. And so a lot of, you know, paving and concrete work, it's really lines and grades, dimensions, not so much things that you're going to have to go back and look at the calculations for.
Unless or the you start composition of the product.
Right. If you're adjusting pavement thickness or the depth of, you know, a replacement of the asphalt, things that could change the design of the structural section, then you might have to go back. But a lot of it's just lines and grades. How do you match here? How wide is it here? So it's a lot of calls that don't involve engineering. Those are made in the field typically.
So how much deviation is permitted? Let's say, I know, what is normal overlay? A couple inches?
Yeah, it could be thin, from anywhere from like an inch, inch and a half to 3 inches.
So say if it was 3 inches, if it came in at 2 7/8 or 3 1/4, does anybody really care as long as the finished surface is smooth?
Short answer is not really, but you want to make sure. Usually you pay by the tonnage. So you're doing a lot of time is you're tracking the tonnage. And you want
make sure it goes far enough. Yeah. You don't want a foot thick.
Yeah, no surprise. The thicker it is, the stronger of a structural section you have. So if you have the money, you want to get the thickness down to get more life out of that product.
So you would rather have thick there than have a little bit of extra and maybe go around the corner and do something that, an alley that would need to be paved or something.
Yeah,
you want to
build to the design if you can. You know, and I guess what you might see sometimes if you're short on funds, maybe thin it up just a little bit to save that tonnage to get you to the finish line. But you want to put on normally as much as you can.
Do you come back then later on and put another thin coat over the whole thing? If you had, say, you had to knock off a half inch.
Yeah.
You come back later on sometime and just divert traffic for a day and lay a half inch in?
Usually with road funding, there's usually not money to come back, and you don't want to come back and restripe it and grind to get the grades right. So you want to probably shorten up the project limits and have a whole new section somewhere else rather than thinning up the whole thing and compromising the design.
Do good what you do.
Do it right and don't come back. And that's how you really save money in the long term is, you know, build a quality product that you don't have to come back and fix in a short period of time.
So it's kind of like contracting. It's the setup time, getting everybody there. It's not the do. It's both ends.
Mobilization's expensive, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
KINS, News and Information Time, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Summertime, yeah, there's still stuff. And you said, Merritt, that there's not only time for things to happen, but the lead up for planning is a big deal. In the past, we've heard staff isn't available, cost a lot of money, we need grants, we need this, we need that. What's the status now? I mean, there's a little bit of extra money floating around because of sales tax. Either at the state level or maybe they've kicked down a little bit. What am I summarizing? City government in a nutshell?
I just love it. You got it down. Not enough staff, not enough money, with not enough time. God, those are...
And public meetings.
And yeah, we
nobody wants it done anyway, so no, yeah.
We try not to be that, Brian.
Okay, good. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a couple pretty big chunks of property in the neighborhood that... We've talked about, you know, the old Fortuna mill site for PL. I mean, I think at some point it starts to become blight or whatever's the next thing down the ladder of ugly in the blight continuum. And is Scotia talking at all, or is there any movement there, or is it just continuing to push leaves and weeds rather, and somebody has to bring a landscaper in and knock the stuff down every once in a while?
It's interesting. We're seeing a lot of interest on the mill site. You know, we're not talking a lot with Town of Scotia right now. I can't speak for them, but I think they're still very focused on their, you know, their primary objective, which is in the actual Town of Scotia. But I know they've...
Now, I'd heard all the houses had been sold.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because of the marketplace today that, you know...
Yeah, you'll have to bring Freight Basic on that. I know they were working on it.
Why don't you bring him in next time?
I will. I'd love to come in here on a show with him. He might like that too. I don't know. But so right now, one of the things that we're working on is a specific plan. So we did receive some grant funds to work on a specific plan, which really what we want to look is we want to look at the land use. We want to look at the zoning, which, you know, the land use and zoning, general plan has land use. And then there's a zoning ordinance, which says, you know, here's the land use is what can it be used for, and the zoning is more focused at densities and the rules for what
specificity.
So let's look at that and see. And right now it's a little bit crossed up. The land use is mixed use, which is mixed commercial with residential, and the zoning is heavy industrial. So not a lot of heavy industrial folks showing up. And it's been sitting there with the dominant zoning being heavy industrial. And there's been a lot of people interested, and then no one's really shown up. So,
what's it been, 35, 40 years since it was an active mill?
Was it 80s that it shut down, I think? Late 80s?
Yeah, okay. So it's early 35 90s? To 40 yeah. years. Yeah, okay.
So, you know, that's one of the things where if we can come up with a concept for that 75-acre parcel that includes transportation, includes utilities, identifies what the best use of the land is, you know, and we follow that up with the general plan amendment to redesignate the land and to update the zoning.
Now, is that forcing the hand of developers, or is that giving them guidance of what would be easier to put through?
Well, I think it's saying this is something that would be acceptable for the city. And really, we felt compelled to put something together because really folks haven't showed up with any. There's been no comprehensive planning by the owner. There really hasn't been anybody conveying to us, here's what we'd like to do with the property. So we'd love to, you know, if say somebody bought the property or Town of Scotia wanted to develop it, we'd love to have them as a willing partner to come and say, hey, here's what we'd like to do. Let's figure out the transportation. Let's figure out the water. Let's figure out the drainage. Let's figure out the sewer. But really, there hasn't been much indication that they want to put any time or planning effort into that. So
you're kind of flying in the dark. So, with no lights on.
Well, I would say the opposite. I'd say the city has land use authority. So, okay, if...
But as far as what a developer's interest is or the current landowner's interest is, you really don't know.
And I don't. And I think that's changing with every potential buyer that shows up and makes them an offer. So I don't think they know. And so you could take two strategies, I think, as a developer. One of them is you could say, hey, let's figure out this whole site, figure out what's marketable, do all the work for the infrastructure, land use, like you would a subdivision, and say, it's set up. Then somebody could come in and build something. Or you could wait for somebody to come and take the whole project over, which I think is what Town of Scotia's done. They put a sign on it, said, hey, somebody buy it, 75 acres available.
And so if I'm ignorant, obviously, but if I'm thinking of that, wouldn't I go to the jurisdiction, knock on the door, and say, hey, guys, here's my thought.
Yeah.
What do you think? And then find out if it's something that's doable or not doable, or what the culture of the community wants or wouldn't want, what would be embraced, what would be protested. Don't you do that just as a normal protocol?
I think if you want to develop something, you do. You have an idea of what you want to do, and then you want to go to the jurisdiction and say, hey, would this be a yes or a no?
Yeah.
And then what's it going to take? What will I have to do in order to build this?
To make it a yes.
And
yeah.
You want to be able to estimate what those costs are to do that development so you could back into the value of the lots and the cost.
So it hasn't gotten to that point yet?
No.
Okay.
So what we're doing is instead of just waiting for somebody to come and we say yes or no, pass or fail, we're trying to develop a vision of what we think would be a good use for that land. And hopefully that will encourage development by identifying what infrastructure needs to be built, you know, having the blessing of the council and them saying, yeah, we like this land use. We like this idea. So having a vision for it of how that could be developed.
Some certainty.
With some certainty. Somebody's going to look at it and go, great. You know, there's some light commercial here. There's some freeway commercial. There's some residential. And they would know what they could build, and they would be able to estimate what those costs are and if it's worth it. And we are willing to work. If a buyer comes in, they buy that, we'd be more than happy to work with them and think about their use and figure out what they want to put on there.
That would be after you got rid of the calluses on your fingertips from doing the cartwheels?
Hey, something's going to happen there, and I have a feeling it's going to be soon. So
very cool.
We're excited about
it. Well, maybe next month we'll get a little bit of an update then. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.